or the damned and the saved, and there's little to choose between them, and angels are beings that have not obviously barbed tails to them or never have such bad manners as to stroke an angel below the waistline. However, this especial outrage was challenged. The editor of the Record returns to it, in the issue of 1876, considers it in the highest degree improper to say that the ashes of Chicago were landed in the Azores. Bull. Soc. Astro, de France, 22-245. Account of a white substance, like ashes, that fell at Annoy, France, March 27, 1908, simply called a curious phenomenon, no attempt to trace to a terrestrial source. Flake formations, which may signify passage through a region of pressure, are common, but spherical formations as if of things that have rolled and rolled along planar regions somewhere are commoner. Nature, January 10, 1884, quotes a Kimberley newspaper that, toward the close of November, 1883, a thick shower of ashy matter fell at Queenstown, South Africa. The matter was in marble-sized balls, which were soft and pulpy, but which, upon drying, crumbled at touch. The shower was confined to one narrow streak of land. It would be only ordinarily preposterous to attribute the substance to Krakatoa. But, with the fall, loud noises were heard. But I'll omit many notes upon ashes. If ashes should sift down upon deep-sea fishes, that is not to say that they came from steamships. Data of falls of cinders have been especially damned by Mr. Simons, the meteorologist, some of whose investigations we'll investigate later nevertheless. Notice of a fall, in Victoria, Australia, April 14, 1875, Report British Association, 1875-242, at least we are told, in the reluctant way, that someone thought he saw matter fall near him at night, and the next day found something that looked like cinders. In the PROC of the London Roy. Soc. 19-122, there is an account of cinders that fell on the deck of a lightship, January 9, 1873. In the Aimer. Jour. Sci. 2-24-449, there is a notice that the editor had received a specimen of cinders said to have fallen in showery weather upon a farm, near Atoa, Ill, January 17, 1857. But after all, ambiguous things they are, cinders or ashes or slag or clinkers, the high priest of the accursed that must speak aloud for us is coal that has fallen from the sky. Or coke. The person who thought he saw something like cinders, also thought he saw something like coke, we are told. Nature, 36-119. Something that looked exactly like coke that fell during a thunderstorm in the Orne, France, April 24, 1887. Or charcoal. Dr. Angus Smith, in the Lit. And Phil. Soc. of Manchester Memoirs, 2-9-146, says that, about 1827, like a great deal in Lyell's Principles and Darwin's Origin, this account is from hearsay, something fell from the sky, near Alport, England. It fell luminously, with a loud report, and scattered in a field. A fragment that was seen by Dr. Smith, is described by him as having the appearance of a piece of common wood charcoal. Nevertheless, the reassured feeling of the faithful, upon reading this, is burdened with data of differences. The substance was so uncommonly heavy that it seemed as if it had iron in it, also there was a sprinkling of sulfur. This material is said, by Professor Baden-Powell, to be totally unlike that of any other meteorite. Gregg, in his catalogue, Report British Association, 1860-73, calls it a more than doubtful substance, but again, against reassurance, that is not doubt of authenticity. Gregg says that it is like compact charcoal with particles of sulfur and iron pyrites embedded. Reassurance rises again. Professor Baden-Powell says, it contains also charcoal, which might perhaps be acquired from matter among which it fell. This is a common reflex with the exclusionists, that substances not truly meteoritic did not fall from the sky, but were picked up by truly meteoritic things, of course only on their surfaces, by impact with this earth. Rhythm of reassurances and their declines. According to Dr. Smith, this substance was not merely coated with charcoal, his analysis gives 43.59% carbon. Our acceptance that coal has fallen from the sky will be via data of rayzy new substances and bituminous substances, which merge so that they cannot be told apart. Rayzy new substance said to have fallen at Kaba, Hungary, April 15, 1887, Report British Association, 1860-94. A rayzy new substance that fell after a fireball. At Neuhaus, Bohemia, December 17, 1824, Report British Association, 1860-70. Fall, July 28, 1885, at Lachon, during a storm, of a brownish substance, very friable, carbonaceous matter, when burned it gave out a rayzy nous odor, Comptes Rendus, 103-837. Substance that fell, February 17, 1819, 1841, at Genoa, Italy, said to have been rayzy nous, said by Arago, Overas, 12-469, to have been bituminous matter and sand. Fall during a thunderstorm July, 1681, near Cape Cod, upon the deck of an English vessel, the Albemarle, of burning, bituminous matter, Eden. New Philosophy Jour, 26-86, a fall, at Christiania, Norway, June 13, 1822, of bituminous matter, listed by Greg as doubtful, fall of bituminous matter, in Germany, March 8, 1798, listed by Greg. Lockyer, The Meteoric Hypothesis, p. 24, says that the substance that fell at the Cape of Good Hope, October 13, 1838, about 5 cubic feet of it, substance so soft that it was cuttable with a knife after being experimented upon, it left a residue, which gave out a very bituminous smell. And this inclusion of Lockyer's so far as findable in all books that I have read is, in books, about as close as we can get to our desideratum that coal has fallen from the sky. Dr. Farrington, except with a brief mention, ignores the whole subject of the fall of carbonaceous matter from the sky. Proctor, in all of his books that I have read is, in books, about as close as we can get to the admission that carbonaceous matter has been found in meteorites in very minute quantities, or my own suspicion is that it is possible to damn something else only by losing one's own soul quasi-soul, of course. Sigh. America, 35-120. That the substance that fell at the Cape of Good Hope resembled a piece of anthracite coal more than anything else. It's a mistake, I think. The resemblance is to bituminous coal, but it is from the periodicals that we must get our data. To the writers of books upon meteorites, it would be as wicked, by which we mean departure from the characters of an established species quasi-established, of course, to say that coal has fallen from the sky, as would be, to something in a barnyard, a temptation that it climb a tree and catch a bird. Domestic things in a barnyard, and how wild things from forests outside seem to them. Or the homeopathist, but we shall shovel data of coal. And, if over and over, we shall learn of masses of soft coal that have fallen upon this earth, if in no instance has it been asserted that the masses did not fall, but were upon the ground in the first place, if we have many instances, this time we turn down good and hard the mechanical reflex that these masses were carried from one place to another in whirlwinds, because we find it too difficult to accept that whirlwinds could so select, or so specialize in a peculiar substance. Among writers of books, the only one I know of who makes more than brief mention is Sir Robert Ball. He represents a still more antique orthodoxy, or is an exclusionist of the old type, still holding out against even meteorites. He cites several falls of carbonaceous matter, but with disregards that make for reasonableness that earthy matter may have been caught up by whirlwinds and flung down somewhere else. If he had given a full list, he would be called upon to explain the special affinity of whirlwinds for a special kind of coal. He does not give a full list. We shall have all that's findable, and we shall see that against this disease we're writing, the homeopathist's prescription availeth not. Another exclusionist was Professor Lawrence Smith. His psychotroism was to respond to all reports of carbonaceous matter falling from the sky, by saying that this damned matter had been deposited upon things of the chosen by impact with this earth. Most of our data antedate him, or were contemporaneous with him, or were as accessible to him as to us. In his attempted positivism it is simply and beautifully disregarded that, according to Berthelot, Berzelius, Clos, Wohler, and others, these masses are not merely coated with carbonaceous matter, but are carbonaceous throughout, or are permeated throughout. How anyone could so resolutely and dogmatically and beautifully and blindly hold out would puzzle us were it not for our acceptance that only to think is to exclude and include, and to exclude some things that have as much right to come in as have the included, that to have an opinion upon any subject is to be a Lawrence Smith because there is no definite subject. Dr. Walter Flight, Eclectic Magazine, 89-71, says, of the substance that fell near Alize, France, March 15, 1806, that it emits a faint bituminous substance when heated, according to the observations of Berzelius and a commission appointed by the French Academy. This time we have not the reluctances expressed in such words as like and resembling. We are told that this substance is an earthy kind of coal. As to minute quantities, we are told that the substance that fell at the Cape of Good Hope has in it a little more than a quarter of organic matter, which, in alcohol, gives the familiar reaction of yellow, resinous matter. Other instances given by Dr. Flight are carbonaceous matter that fell in 1840, in Tennessee, Cranbourne, Australia, 1861, Montauban, France, May 14, 1864, 20 masses, some of them as large as a human head, of a substance that resembled a dull-colored earthy lignite, Golpara, India, about 1867, about 8% of a hydrocarbon, at Ornans, France, July 11, 1868, substance with an organic, combustible ingredient, at Hessel, Sweden, January 1, 1860.